Test 3, 4. Shut the door. 5, 6. Pick up sticks. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. I want to welcome y'all to Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation, our Yehuda in Hebrew. And I'm Rabbi Joe, and I want to welcome the folks on the internet. We're glad you're with us tonight. This is Hoshana Rabbah. It means the great salvation. It's the last and greatest day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot. And we're glad you're with us tonight, everybody on here and those who are coming. People will still be coming in, drifting in. And we're going to celebrate. This is in John 7:37. If you've never been to this holiday, this is the day that Jesus said it was the last and greatest day of the feast. And he said he stood up in the temple court of the temple, and he said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And it was on this day, or starts at sundown tonight, and it goes through tomorrow, it's till sundown. So anyhow, that's we're going to begin the service tonight. This is the final service of the fall feasts, and so we're going to get underway, and I'm going to turn it over to lovely Rebbitz and Dawn. Thank you.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us by thy commandments and commands us to set this day apart for Yeshua, this wonderful festival of lights and of the pouring of the water and the waving of the branches and of the rejoicing unto the Lord Adonai. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this festival, and we offer it up to you as a sacrifice of praise tonight. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And now we'll do the Kiddush.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua the Messiah, the bread of life. Amen.
Amen. And we will have the challah down in the fellowship hall afterwards, so you can have some following the service.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And at this time, I'm going to ask David Van Wy to come, and we'll have a scripture reading, and then we'll... as we continue our celebration of Hoshana Rabbah.
Take two. Adonai said to Moshe, "Tell the people of Israel, on the 15th day of the 7th month is the Feast of Sukkot for 7 days to Adonai. On the first day there is to be a holy convocation. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. For 7 days you are to bring an offering made by fire to Adonai. On the eighth day you are to have a holy convocation and bring an offering made by fire to Adonai. It is a day of public assembly. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. These are the designated times of Adonai that you are to proclaim as holy convocations and bring an offering made by fire to Adonai, a burnt offering, a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, each on its own day. Besides the Shabbats of Adonai, your gifts, all your vows, and all your voluntary offerings that you give to Adonai.
Amen. Let's stand for the Shema. I think it'll come up on the screen.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kelor, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך, והיו הדברים האלה אשר אנוכי מצווך היום על לבבך, ושינתם לבניך, ודיברת בהם בשבתך בביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשכבך ובקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידיך, והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Hallelujah. And this song is a traditional prayer, Adna Adonai, which says, please save us, please prosper us, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Thank you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All right, let's turn to our inserts there on page 3 where it says Hashanot. And let's see. Anthony, would you like to come and lead us in the Hashanot and then the prayer on taking the lulav, please? And did everybody get a branch and a fruit? All right, everybody wave your branches right now. Okay, because we're going to worship with our branches and our fruit. Because the Word of God says we're supposed to worship with it, right? Okay, hallelujah. So let's raise up our branches and our fruit as we say this together. Anthony's going to lead us, starting at the top of page 3 in your insert, Hashanot.
Save, we ask of you, for your sake, our God. Save, we ask of you, for your sake, our Creator. Save, we ask of you, for your sake, our Redeemer. Save, we ask of you, for your sake, O One who seeks us. Save, we ask of you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
All right. Hallelujah. And then we're going to have the prayer for taking the lulav. And after we do that, Rabbi's going to lead us in the four corners, the waving of the four corners. I think it's 139.
I'm just going to say it in English. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us by thy commandments and commands us to take the lulav. Let me just explain for a minute what the palm branch represents. In Middle Eastern culture, a palm tree represents royalty. So on the outside of the Eastern Gate, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the Ezekiel temple, there'll be palm trees. They're instructed to, put palm trees into the gates of the Eastern Gate. Would be in Ezekiel, somewhere between chapter 40 and 46. It mentions that. So palm trees are a sign of royalty. When Yeshua came into Jerusalem at Passover, and many of the people laid palm branches down on the ground, they were welcoming the king, is what they were doing. And that was a good thing for us, but for his life it wasn't a good sign, because Israel had an earthly king, Herod, and it also was a threat to the Romans. His kingship. So they didn't understand that he was not trying to take away the kingdom from the earthly kings at that time, but they were threatened by him. Thirdly, as to the palm branches, we wave them on this holiday. Yeshua said in John 15, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. So you notice how you have a lemon. Okay, so you'll see this. This is actually what a palm branch looks like from Israel, and it says to have branches of leafy trees and branches of willows of the brook. So the people, the rabbis decided the willow. These are the willow branch. This is the palm branch in the middle, and the third branch is the myrtle or the Hadassah. Or Esther branch, okay? It's not really to do with Esther, but it's myrtle, and that's what her name is. Okay, and then the fruit is called an etrog, and it makes a nice jelly or jam. A It's not a lemon. It's a citron. It's a citrus fruit, but it's not a lemon. It looks like one though. Anyway, so you can't get etrogues here in the United States, at least in Tennessee. I don't know of a place that sells them. You get mangoes and guavas and papayas, but you can't get etrogues. So you had to order these from Israel. So we got these from Israel. So this whole deal right here costs about $80, $85. That's why everybody didn't get one. Now, if you want to get one next year, just let me know about a month before, and we'll order you one. Costs about $75, and we'll order you one of these if anybody would like one. But I get one just so that you all know and what it is. So when you're holding these, the Jewish people, if you were to go to the synagogue and ask them, well, what is this all about? You know, why do they wave them? And in the synagogue, and we'll wave them too, in four directions, the four corners of the earth. We're really calling, we're saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm one of your branches. And here's the fruit, because he says any branch without fruit is what? Is burned. Any branch that has no fruit on it is tossed into the fire, Jesus said. So we want to be fruitful branches or fruitful boughs, right?
Amen.
Amen. In fact, my name, Joseph, the Bible says, in somewhere in the Psalms, it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Joseph is a fruitful bough. So I've claimed that scripture for myself, and you can claim what scripture you want for yourself, but I like Joseph as a fruitful bough because I'm Joseph. Praise the Lord. Now,
all right, keep your bough there, Rabbi.
I'm keeping my bough and my base.
And lead us through. Okay, we're going to say the prayer there on page 3 where it says prayer on taking the lulav. Let's just say it together, and then we're going to do the four corners. All right, everybody, raise up your lulavs. All right, and let's say it together. We wave the lulav in every direction, thus signifying the omnipresence of God. He is everywhere. He is our God. There is none else. I am prepared to follow the instructions of my Creator, who commanded us in the Torah, and make for yourselves on the first day the fruit of goodly trees, branches of the palm trees, boughs of thick-leaved trees, and willows of the brook. While I wave them, may great blessings flow on us and holy thoughts fill us. For certainly he is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He rules below and above, and his sovereignty has dominion over all. May this observance of the instructions concerning the four species be accepted as fulfilling it in all its details and particulars. And let the beauty of the Lord our God rest on us, and may you establish the work of our hands. May the Lord be praised forever. Amen and amen. Amen. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has hallowed us by his commandments and commanded us to take the lulav.
Amen. So I'm going to wave in the four directions. So let's turn that way. That's east. We'll begin east, and then we'll turn right, which is that south?
South.
South. Okay, so we'll start with east. Let's wave. And now let's turn to the south. And then now we'll turn to the west. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Hallelujah. He promises to bless us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Blessings to the north. Let's do it again. To the east. Blessings to the east.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Blessings from the east, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And blessings from the south. Thank you, Lord. And as hard as it may seem, blessings from the west. Thank you, Lord, and blessings from the north.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Glory.
The Lord.
And we're going to go out and wave these at the end of the service. We're going to parade down to the sukkah, and we're going to take our branches with us, and we'll wave them, and then we'll read a traditional psalm for this holiday in the sukkah, in the booth that we have made, and then we'll conclude.
All right,
out
and
there.
Hallelujah. Since we're on Hoshana Rabbah, there's so many things that were going on in the temple 2,000 years ago on this day. A holiday that in ancient times was known as one of the most beautiful and momentous occasions in all of the known world. People flocked from all over the world to come and see the lights in the temple the light in the temple shone so brightly that that it was just amazing. You can read some of the things that I've put in into the folder there, into your bulletin, about the water libation ceremony, and that's what we're going to also participate in tonight. We're going to sing this song called Mayim, Mayim. Everybody say Mayim.
Mayim.
And does anybody know what that means?
Water.
Water. Everybody say water.
Water.
Hallelujah. Water is very important, isn't it? If you're in the desert, it's really important. And if it doesn't rain for half the year, maybe we might want to pray for a little rain, right? So that's what this is. It says, actually from the Bible, it says, I will draw water from the wells of salvation. And Yeshua said he was the water of life. So we are going to draw Yeshua out tonight. As we do that, I'd like you to come forward with your water. We're going to demonstrate first with my big pitcher there. Deborah, would you please lift up the pitcher? We got some water. Hallelujah. We're going to pour it out on the altar, and then I want you to bring your water and bring it, and then let's break out into worship. And Diane's going to lead us in dance and worship. Diane, raise your palm leaf and your fruit. All right. Okay. And show everybody how you can clap with your fruit at the same time, because we're going to have to clap while we wave our... Everybody, let's practice clapping with your palm branches. I don't want any silent worship out there. All right? All right, here we go.
Let's go. joy.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy and all the trees of the field will clap their hands.
All the trees of the field will clap their hands.
Keep him as a shepherd.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord for His faithfulness. Give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Give thanks to the Lord for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord if He's been good to you.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Give thanks to the Lord for your health.
Thank you, Lord, for my health, Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord for the provision He provides you.
Hallelujah.
Give thanks to the Lord for His mercy.
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you tonight. We praise you.
Hosanna. Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna.
Exalted, O Lord, my God.
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment here. It's a holy moment. And everybody asks that everybody would just bow their heads and close their eyes for a moment. Yeshua, Jesus, is present with us. He's here tonight. And if there's anybody in the room with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, if there's anyone that does not know him, just raise your hand. If you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, as your Messiah, if you don't know him, if you don't know that he died for your sins and that he was buried 3 days and three nights, rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. If God hasn't revealed his son to you and you'd like to know him tonight, just raise your hand if you don't know him. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, if you're watching on live stream and you don't know him, all you have to do is ask God to reveal Yeshua. Say, God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, reveal your son, reveal Yeshua to me, and ask him to show you who Yeshua is, and to, if you want, you can tell him that you've messed up and broken God's laws. That's why we need Yeshua. We need Jesus, because we've broken his laws. So God made a way that we could be right with God. We could be righteous in the sight of God. And that way is through the blood of Yeshua, of Jesus. So if you just want to confess your sins to God and tell him you're sorry, and invite his son and to come and live in your heart and be your Messiah and wash you from your sins, he promises that he'll do that. He says, if anyone confesses Yeshua as Lord, that he will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, it says. Whoever calls, so if you call upon the name of Yeshua, call upon the name of Jesus, you'll be saved. And every one of us needs to be. So praise the Lord. And turn it back over to Don here. Okay. All right, we're going to receive an offering tonight. Take a special offering tonight. All the proceeds of this offering are going to go to help. We do Israel. We give our holiday, special holiday offering a couple times a year, two or three times a year, to Israel, and we're going to give it to the Joseph Project, and possibly to another Messianic ministry. Not only does Israel need our help, the poor people in Israel, but there's a lot of Messianic people and synagogues. You know, Messianic synagogues are very poor in relationship to the church, compared to the church. When I say the church, you know, the church universal, and it's a very, very small group, and a lot of them got damaged during the hurricanes, and so we'd like to help the synagogues that were damaged, and help families that were Messianic families that were suffered loss during the hurricanes. So some of that, the offering tonight and from previous offerings, will go toward that. So I ask that you be generous tonight. Everything that's given will go to help with Messianic aid, either in Israel or be divided, you know, here in the United States, to help with hurricane response, either in Houston and Florida and possibly in Puerto Rico. I can guarantee that we have aid relief groups in Houston and in Florida. Puerto Rico, I'm not quite as sure about as far as Messianic relief to Puerto Rico, but Still, that's a good place to give. They need aid, and you can do that and through other means. But tonight's offering is going to go to the Joseph Project and Messianic Ministry. So you can make out your check to For Zion's Sake. If you're making out a check, you can put it in the envelope. Just mark it what it's for. I'm going to pray before we take the offering, and I'll ask Wendell to pray and lead us. And if you want to give an offering for something else, for this ministry, or you're welcome to do that. I'm not going to force you, but the Scripture says on this day, there's three holidays in Deuteronomy 16, the Lord says to bring an offering to Israel in Deuteronomy 16:16, and this is one of those holidays. So that's why we do it. And so, Wendell, would you lead us in prayer for the offering tonight?
Yeshua, we thank you this night, God, for what you've done for us in this meeting so far, Father. Lord, help in this offering, God. And, Lord, it's our reasonable service, Lord, to give to you and the needy, God. Father, we know that this seed that we're planting, God, is for a good cause, Lord. And, Father, I just ask you, Lord, that you would bless this offering and multiply it, God, as it goes in the basket, God. Multiply it, Lord, in the only way that you can multiply it, Lord. And, Father, we just ask you to bless each one, Lord, to give. And you instructed us, Lord, to bring an offering, God, not to come empty-handed, Lord, during this feast time, God. And we just ask, God, that everybody, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, Father, and tell them what to give, Lord. And we just thank you for it. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Your gates will be
title for it, Isaac? It's a Hoshana Rabbah service, and you can look on the bulletin for spelling. And then the last and greatest day of the feast, John 7:37. Well, Isaac's doing that. I just want to mention, before I bring the message tonight, I want to mention to you, do we have flyers out there? Do we have any of these flyers around? Could somebody pass them out? Does everybody have one? Okay. If anybody doesn't have one, want to raise your hand? Does anybody not have one of these flyers? They're worth thousands of dollars. They're actually gold paper. Just kidding. Boy, that got a response. Seriously, though, it's this. We're having a group Tuesday night. It's called Makedem, and they're from Israel, and they're coming Tuesday night to Bristol, and they are probably the hottest worship band in Israel, praise and worship band in Israel. And in fact, I won't even say they're probably, they are the hottest worship band in Israel. And I've seen them, Don and I have seen them about three times. And several months ago, they called me, and they called me up and said, Jamie Hilsden, who's the leader of the group, his dad is Wayne Hilsden from King of Kings Church in Jerusalem, which some of you may know. It's probably one of the largest kind of one new man, sort of messianic Christian joined together churches in Pastor Wayne Hilsden. You can look him up. He's retired now, but you know he led probably the largest congregation in Israel for 25 years or more. And anyway, Jamie, his son, is the leader of this group. And there's a gal in the group named Shai Saul, and they have a version of like America's Got Talent or the X Factor thing. In Israel, they have Israel's Got Talent, and she actually won it. And so she's famous in Israel. She's known by millions of people in Israel for winning that as a musician and a singer. Oh, sure. Put Hallelujah if you want to go you can put Makedem. Hallelujah is a good clip. So anyway, they're going Tuesday night. Well, Carol's working on that. Tuesday night, Makedem is going to be here in Bristol. Now, the band is so big, I couldn't fit them on this stage. And actually, the day after they're with us, they're going to be at Liberty University Chapel. The very morning after they're with us, they're going to be at Liberty University Chapel. You just don't get into Liberty University Chapel. You know, Ma and Pa Bell, they don't get invited to Liberty University Chapel. They've been at Dallas Theological Seminary Chapel. They've been all over some of the biggest churches in the country, and they called us and said, we want to come to you. And met your wife at the conference, and we'd like to come minister. And I was like, okay. I was thinking to myself, gee, I don't think we would fit you. They're a big band. So I called my friends over at Grace Point Church of God and on Shelby Street. And the folks at Grace Point, Pastor Richard Baker, were gracious enough to say, hey, we love Israel, and we want to do this with you, Rabbi Joe. And so they have a big stage, nice big stage over there. And so they've agreed to, they've got all the equipment that the band needs. And they've got a sound man and plenty of booming sound over there. So it's going to be a great night, Tuesday night. So I invite you out to come check out Makedem. And it's at Grace Point Church. That's on Shelby Street. It's 7 p.m. In Bristol, Tennessee, 1318 Shelby Street. If you go on our website, you'll see this poster too. If you have a Walmart or something or a supermarket or a gas station where you can post one of these, that'd be great. Invite you to do that. Invite your friends to come out. This is going to be a great night. I'm telling you, it's going to be a fun night of worship. So please come and bring your friends. Are you going to bring someone, Maria? Special? Are you going to bring a special friend? Amen. Wendell is a special friend. He's a special friend of mine too. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so is Charlie. Hallelujah. And many of you. All right. So. Let's see if we have a little. We have a little. Before I speak and give the message, let's see if we have a little clip of Makedem. Do we? Yeah. We do. Okay. Can we turn the lights down a little bit? Oh, thank you. Can I turn the bass off? Or? Yeah. Okay. Okay, it's off. Take two. Okay. Take three. Let's turn it up a little bit. Hit those lights, please. So you, Oh, one more video? Okay. So good. Let's keep going. Let's have a concert here. One more video. One more video. One more video. Hey. These are just videos in Hebrew, but they will be singing with English words on the... Yeah. But you'll have to learn Hebrew between now and Tuesday. And you have to learn it really well. There will be a test. There will be a big test. And if you fail, no donuts for you. Or pizza for the rest of your life. No pizza or donuts for the rest of your life if you fail the Hebrew test. Better get cracking. All right. I see David laughing. Okay, no hamburgers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You guys are already Hebrew speakers. Did you know that's Hebrew? Oh.
Okay, guys. So what's going to be our next big thing? What? Okay, guys. So what's going to be our next big thing?
What holidays haven't we covered yet?
Sorry, I'm late, guys. I couldn't figure out what to wear.
How about Tu B'Shvat?
Or Flag Day. Is that even a day? How about Groundhog Day?
Guys. Sukkot.
Sukkot.
All right, Sukkot it is. But what are people listening to these days?
Shake your palm frond, myrtle, citron, and willow. And willow. Shake your palm frond, myrtle, citron, and willow. And willow.
Hop om sukkestad. Sukkestad. Hop om sukkestad. Sukkestad.
How about we do a video with a script and lines and stuff, instead of just singing?
Okay, guys, so what's going to be our next big thing?
What holidays haven't we covered yet?
Sorry I'm late, guys. I couldn't figure out what to wear.
No. Well, we can't act.
So, any other ideas?
Interpretive dance.
Classical music?
Rap?
I think I got it. The Maccabees have spent the last 2 years singing other people's music. Maybe it's finally time to write some of our own.
That was not McKenna. That was the Maccabees. And you can catch them on YouTube as well. They're a lot of fun. Okay. The Maccabees? No, they won't be, but the first group was McKedem. That was for fun. I know, most stuff we do isn't fun, but that was. Jaden. Isn't everybody, that's Jaden. Jaden, say hello to everybody. He's Joshua's friend. Joshua, say hello to everybody. Say hi to the folks. That's Josh. He's going to be 12 in a couple days. When's your birthday? When's your birthday? And what day is the 16th? You don't know what day it is? Monday. And who else's birthday is Monday? Jaden. Who?
Yeah.
So it's close. Your birthday's close to the 16th. Okay. Well, another person in the room whose birthday is actually on the 16th, who Diane is Miss Dawn. Miss Dawn, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Miss Dawn, Joshua's mother, was born on the same day as Joshua. And so as she was giving birth to Joshua, I told her, I said, this is your birthday present, but you're going to enjoy it much more next year. You've been enjoying it 12 years. We've been enjoying this birthday present. Joshua, did you know you were a birthday present? And you didn't even have a ribbon. Praise the Lord. And I caught you with the catcher's mitt. Okay, better pray for me. Let's pray for the message, okay? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this service. Thank you for this. The Word says this is the time of rejoicing. The time of rejoicing. And we just give you praise and thanks for that. And in the name of Yeshua, Lord, we just bind the strong man. And I pray you put joy in our hearts, Lord, no matter what each one, what we're going through, Lord, that you would put joy in our hearts and that we would be transformed, Lord, by you as we leave here tonight, Lord. And thank you for all that you do for us and your goodness, your kindness. Your word says in John 12 that if we ask and if we seek and we knock, that it will be given unto us. We will answer us and it will be given unto us, Lord. And so help us to always remember when we're in need, when we're in trouble, Lord, that we can turn to you and ask you to pray for us, that you're sitting at the right hand of the Father and that you're seated making intercession for us, and that you're praying for us right now, Lord. We thank you that you're praying for us tonight. Hallelujah. So, well, this message that I'm going to bring is, are we on there, Isaac? Just about, okay. If you open your books, your Bibles to Haggai, if you have a Bible. And I want to invite you, if you come here regularly, to please bring your Bibles. It's really important. Tablets are good to me for like looking up stuff quickly. And if you're good at reading the Bible on a tablet, I don't mind. That's fine. But it's really good to just a good old-fashioned Bible is important to have because it gets you to read the Word of God, and it gets you to know where feel your way around the Word of God, and it's important that you don't just because we have technology. When those storms hit Florida and Puerto Rico and St. Martin and the Virgin Islands, it wasn't tablets that people were looking to; it was Bibles. Amen. The most important thing that people were missing. When the power went out, and are we on, Isaac? Okay. What's that? Yeah, I want to welcome folks on Facebook. Shalom, this is Rabbi Joe, and this is Hoshana Rabbah, and this is the last and greatest day of the Feast of Tabernacles. John 7:37, Yeshua said that on this day, on the last and greatest day of the Feast, and it was this Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, begins tonight. The last day begins tonight and ends tomorrow at sundown. And Yeshua cried out in the temple. Jesus cried out in the temple, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." And so we want to welcome you. And tonight's message is about building the temple of the Lord. And we're going to talk about that and how it relates to this feast. But before I do, as I was saying, when people are in distress and when people are going through the hurricanes and they lost power and they lost all electricity, they lost cell phones, they had no gasoline, if stores were closed, you know, these were the things that people said they needed. People said in the hurricanes, when I saw the news, they said we needed cash. Because banks weren't, ATMs weren't working, banks were closed. They said they needed cash, money on hand to buy things. They said they needed water. They said they needed food. Some people needed food. They didn't have stuff stocked up, and they needed food. All their refrigeration died, and their food was wasted in the refrigerators. And these are in places like Florida and the Keys and in the islands and Puerto Rico and St. Martin and St. Thomas and St. John. So in other places. And in Houston. So they needed gasoline. They needed power. They needed money to buy things. And they needed water and food. And lastly, they needed Bibles. Because many of them, their cell phone and their tablets didn't work. They had no way to charge them. They had no way, you know, once they ran out, once the power ran out, that was the end of their iBible was gone. Amen? But if you were in the storm and you had a copy of the book, you could, especially if you had a little copy, you could put it in your pocket. You could put it up high where it wouldn't get wet, or hopefully you could rescue the Word, and therefore you could turn to the Word and read Psalm 91 or something, or Psalm 23, you know, or yea, though I walk through the, when I walk through the waters, thou art with me, you are with me, when I go through the waters, you know, and the Lord promises to be with us, and so the book is still important. And so I encourage people to bring the book to services. Keep, not, you know, it's fine, like I said, if you're, you know, on the go or something, and you, but it's important to have the book while you can, because one day there won't be the book, and you, people are going to rely on the iBook, and that'll be gone too. So keep the real book while you have it, and keep it and cherish it, lock it up. Keep one hid, stored away, you know, even if it's a small copy, hide it, whatever, so for a special, for a rainy day when you might need it. Amen? All right, let's turn to Haggai. Now, this is about Haggai begins temple building. Now, the temple had the children of Israel were in exile in Persia, and the Persians, after 70 years after the temple was destroyed, temple was destroyed in 586 BC, and the King Cyrus gave the decree in Ezra chapter 1 to send the Jewish people back. He gave them, and he told the Persian people, and he gave them money and resources and soldiers and everything they needed. It was provided them to go back to Jerusalem and build the temple of God. So many thousands and thousands of Jews went back from exile, and around after 70 years, they started leaving Persia. Persians took over from the Babylonians, who actually sacked the temple and destroyed it. And the king of Persia, Cyrus, he sent the Jews back around 516 BC, and he told them to rebuild their temple to their God. And God actually predicted that Cyrus would do this in Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 45. God actually, 150 years or so before Cyrus decreed that he would send the Jews back, God said Cyrus would. He even named him and said, "Cyrus, my anointed, my really, which means my Messiah, Cyrus, not the Messiah, but a Messiah, my anointed one, my, you know, the king of Persia, he will send my people back, though he doesn't know me." And let's turn there for a second. Hold your place in Haggai, and let's go to Isaiah. You just got to see this. Isaiah 45. Verse 1, "Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord God of Israel, who calls you by your name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, and I have also called you by your name and have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. He's talking to Cyrus. He says, I've called you by name. I've given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. So he's prophesying that Cyrus is going to come, and Isaiah lived around the 700s of B.C., and Cyrus came in early 6th century B.C. Isaiah lived, 125 to 150 years before Cyrus. And God prophesied that. Isn't that pretty cool? And so it says here in Haggai, let's go back to Haggai, in the second year of Darius, the king, and this is after the Persians took over the Babylonian Empire, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. So what's going on here? Okay, so we have a governor sent back his name is Zerubbabel. He's my cousin. I'm Joe Bell. He's my cousin Zerubbabel. And he's my cousin from another mother. Anyway, he was the governor of Judah that was sent back, to be the governor when to build the temple. He was sent back with Ezra, the priest, and back to Jerusalem. And the work, they started building the temple, but the work stalled. Everybody say the work stalled. For about 15 years, the work stalled, okay? And the work stalled. So they stopped building. And what were the people doing? It says, Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses? Is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses while this house, the house of the Lord, lies desolate? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough, and he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. So God's telling the people, you're focused on building your own panel houses, and on my house lies desolate. That's what God's saying. You're focused. You're making your own homes beautiful. Well, my house lies desolate. That's what God says. So it sounds like God's not happy. Amen? Doesn't it sound that way? Can I get an amen I can hear? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thus says the Lord, verse 7, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountains. Bring wood. Rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. So everybody's focused on building their own houses, building their own wealth, building their own kingdom, building their own treasures, building their own family, building their own, my own life. And not building God's house. What is God's house today? The church, the congregation, the assembly of believers, and technically it's really In John 10:14, Jesus, Yeshua said, I have, he's talking to Jews, he says, to a Jewish crowd at feast time, he says to a bunch of Jewish disciples, I have sheep from another fold that you know not of. He's telling Jewish people, way before there was ever a church, didn't know what a church was. He says, I have sheep from another fold, and I must bring them too, and together you will be one flock, two separate flocks becoming one, with one shepherd, the Lord. Amen. Two flocks, the Messianic Jews and the church. I must bring them too, the church and the Messianic Jews, and together they will become one. But then he goes on in John 17 and he says, Father, you are in me and I am in you, and we are one. And the Hebrew word is echad. Everybody say echad. And that means, and then he says, perfected in unity. He says, perfected in unity. He says, I pray that they may be one as we are one. He says, the Lord says in John 17, I pray that they may be one, even as you and I are one, Father. I pray that they, us, that we would be one, perfected in unity, he says. Wait a second. So does that mean the church, the Messianic Jewish community, blends into the church and disappears? No. Does that mean the church blends into the Messianic community and disappears? No. It means that the two come together in unity, like my Gentile wife who joined me 20 years ago, and a Jewish man, and we became one. A man will leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh, and we became one, Dawn and I. But Dawn's very different than me. She's a very unique and individual person, and I am too, you know. We're very different, but yet we're one. Amen? And she's my good thing. The Bible says a man who's found a wife has found a good thing. And she's been my good thing for 20 plus years now. So praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm very blessed. And but we're not one person, are we? We're perfected in unity, maybe, but we're not one person, right? How many married couples out there? Are you the same person as your spouse? Right. So we're talking about unity here. It doesn't, so God is saying to Haggai, and so stop building your own houses. Stop building the church. Stop building the Messianic kingdom and come together, church and Messianic community, like we're having this concert at a church, Jew and Gentile, one, perfected in unity in the Messiah. Why does he say it? In John 17, he says, so that the world might believe. That the world might believe. The church and the Messianic Jewish community must come together. When I say, and I'm talking about the believers, not the building, the believers and the church must come together in unity with the Messianic Jewish community and as it perfected in unity. And so I thank you if you're Christians and you've come here tonight to worship with us. I'm going to read one scripture before I close that will show you this is a feast for you. They're all for you, really, but this one especially, the Lord mentions non-Jews. And let's read on here. The Lord seems angry. He says in verse 7 of Haggai, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it. You know, God says, and Peter, he says, you are living stones. You are a chosen generation. And you are living stones. We are the stones of his temple. Amen? Amen? And Ephesians 2 says we are being built together, not apart. Notice he says together. In Ephesians 2, God says together we're being built into a holy temple of God, but not apart. But for 1,700 plus years, we've been built apart. You see, the Jews were kicked out of the church in the 4th century. We were kicked out. You mean, if you don't understand that, David Reagan has a great teaching. Just Google David Reagan anti-Semitism. You'll come up with a 4-page article or so. That's a great teaching on how the Jews were kicked out of the church and the history of it. I also have a teaching online. You can go to our website, www.forzionsake.org, www.forzionsake.org, and you can see my teaching on anti-Semitism in the church, and you can go back in my newsletters and see that, or you can go back in archives and watch it on video. I think it's on video, but it's definitely in a newsletter. Anyway, so the teaching is there, and there's a book out there called Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, if somebody would get me that, a copy of it, which tells the story of the church and the Jews. But to make a long story short, Jews were kicked out of the church by Constantine in the year 325 at the Council of Nicaea. Thank you, Xavier. This is a great book by Dr. Michael Brown. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. You can get it here. If you want to get it, order it. It's $20 shipped. We'll ship it to you for $20. Just get on our website and you can order this book. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. This tells the story, a tragic story of the church and the Jewish people. And you can get it here tonight as well. We have copies of it. It's a great read. You won't be able to put it down once you get into it, I'll tell you. So we're not being built apart. We're being built together. Unfortunately, we haven't been doing much to build with each other. We haven't been doing too much. I think of myself. You ever heard of actors that are kind of typecast? Like John Wayne. Did you ever see John Wayne do a love story? You know? Did you ever see Sylvester Stallone do a Shakespearean, you know, tragedy? You never saw one, Jaden? I didn't either. And no, you never saw Sylvester Stallone play Hamlet, you know, and you probably never will. But you know, so what I get, I'm like the Passover guy. A lot of churches will have me, and I'm glad to go to churches. Don't get me wrong; I love to go to a church and teach Passover, and I'm happy to be the Passover guy. But I have a lot more to say. I have a lot more to say than just Passover. Amen. I have a lot more to teach. And I don't know if folks out there, if some churches, some are very gracious and willing to let me come and preach. I do revivals. I'm willing to come to your church and speak, you know. But, I think some folks, they just, well, we have them for Passover and that's it. We've done our Jewish thing for the year. That's not what God's looking for. That's not building his house. That's not doing it. Okay, we had the Jewish guy once. We did it in a 12-month calendar. We had one Jewish guy, and that's it. And it's just, you know, that's not building the house. And I've had many more pastors in here than have pastors. Well, I don't know. A lot of pastors who have invited me to speak, so I won't say I've had more pastors. But I've had a lot of pastors here speak who've never invited me to their churches to speak. But I'm okay with that. But the point is, God wants us to build his house. So let's read verse 8. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you want it, it comes home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate. Well, each of you runs to his own house. You know, I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on people, but I put out a cry last weekend. I said, our sukkah, which represents our tabernacle, was sitting there undecorated. And years ago when I first came here, the people swarmed me when I came to town. People I didn't even know found out I was in town, and they just showed up. And a crew, and they built, we were in a church at the time, we built a sukkah, a wooden one, on the stage of a church that we were in, Living Waters Family Church in Abingdon, Virginia. And the pastors let us build it, and these men took out their tools and their hammers and their nails, and they measured, and they built a sukkah in the church, and the people brought decorations and palm fronds and branches and trees, and they just, I didn't need to do anything except direct it and explain, you know, guide it, but these people just showed up. And this year, and again, this is not a condemnation of anybody. It just saddened my heart that I had to, after 18 years in this town, had to put out a call. Please, decorate our sukkah. Let's build our tabernacle. Let's build our congregation's, our community's tabernacle. Let's build it for the community, not just for us. Let's make it beautiful. Let's bring foliage and cover it. Put a roof on it. Let's hang some fruit, you know. Let's do something for our tabernacle. Dawn and I can't do it all. She's so busy. Do you see these services? You think they happen? They just materialize? No, there's a lot of work that goes into this, you know. And there's a lot of people. And I don't want to, like I said, this is not a condemnation. But it's just in general, I'm saying, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. And some of you did decorate it. And finally, I had to actually call someone to cut trees today. I actually had to call somebody to cut, a gardener, to come and cut the trees so we would have a roof over our tabernacle. And he piled the trees out there. How sad is that? That I had to pay somebody to cut the branches to put on the roof of our, you know, let that sink in. As you know, and Wendell, did you put the branches up, you and Maria? Did you guys?
No, I think
Charlie did. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord that Charlie put them up there. Like I said, a lot of people did stuff for it, but today I was so grieved in my heart that it wasn't done, and I couldn't do it. I called a gardener. And I said, would you cut? I called him at 4 o'clock this morning. I texted him. And he answered me back at 5. He said, you'll be the first thing I do. I'll come this morning, and I'll cut the branches, and I'll lay them. I said, lay them by the hut, and we'll put them on top. And he did it. Let's read on. God's saying here, build my house. This isn't Joe's house. Build my house. Do the things which please me, God's saying. Do the things which concern me, and I'll bless you. Good preaching, Rabbi. Do the things which please God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's stop building our own houses and build the house of the Lord. Amen. With living stones. It's not about branches. It's about Jew and Gentile coming together. That's just a symbol of our attitude. Not your attitude, all our attitude. All of our attitude. That's just a symbol, you know, of it. The fact that there was no very little interest in it. And some people didn't know. I don't blame anybody. And I said, this is not directed. Please don't let the devil tell you he's telling you you're an idiot because you didn't do it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is not directed at any one person. I'm saying it's the general lack of interest in building our sukkah and making it beautiful like it was last year or other years. Is a sign of the times that people are more interested in their own house, their own property, their own car, their own latest tractor, their own tool, their smart TV, their computer, their video games, whatever, than they are building the house of God, which should be, according to this book, our priority. Amen. God says, make it your priority to build my house. Okay, let's read. But is God mad? Let's see if he's mad. Let's go on. He says, go up to the mountains, verse 8, bring wood and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little when you bring it home. I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew. Talk about what people call global warming. We have no rain. No, it's not because of global warming. It's because we're not building God's house. Why do we have drought? You know, in Israel, let me just tell you something. This is the drought season. This is when the drought ends and the rainy season begins. Drought starts in Israel around sometime in March, early April. It's a drought, and it's desert. And it doesn't rain, usually, it doesn't rain all the way till about end of October. Okay? So, you know why we poured out water before? Y'all poured out water? It's precious. Water in Israel is precious. Everybody say precious. So when you pour out water as an offering to God, you're taking something that's very precious. Remember I talked about the islands and the hurricanes? What was precious? Gasoline, food, water, money, and Bibles. Gasoline, food, water, money, and Bibles, and probably clothing and shelter are probably the most valuable things to people. And hopefully God. So water, the children of Israel had a water libation ceremony during this feast, and that's when Jesus stood and said, if anyone thirsts, forget about that water, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit. Come to me. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen? And it's against that backdrop of the water ceremony. Why were they pouring out precious water? As an offering to the God of Israel, saying, Lord, we give you water like a sacrifice of an animal, and we're praying for rain. Because if we don't get rain, we're right now in Israel, The Sea of Galilee is at its lowest point in modern history. Did you know that? The Sea of Galilee is at its lowest point in modern history right now because they've had such a drought in Israel. And I don't know why that is. I imagine it's because they've been focusing on building their own houses and not building God's house. He says it, right? Everybody's trying to build their own little kingdom and their own house and their own property and their own, you know, make their lives good. They're not building the house of the Lord. Can't talk right now, son. Okay, so let's go on here and see what God says. Because of my house which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house, verse 10, therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. The west is burning. The drought is so severe. They've had over 100 wildfires in the west. California, you heard the song California Dreaming? California Dreaming on such a winter's day. Stopped into a church, synagogue, I passed along the way. Well, I have a new song. It's called California Burning on such a autumn day. California's burning. Napa Valley's burning because the people have made a god of wine. They've made a god. Everybody I see, people I know, and I won't name names in California, a lot of them, they go to wine tastings. That's what they do for fun. A lot of people I know who aren't believers, they go to wine tastings. You're going to thousands of wine tastings. Here they go to beer tastings. There's so many breweries. I was in Johnson City today. There's a brewery on every corner. You know, now here it's all about beer tasting and wine. We're just a bunch of drunken knuckleheads going to drink wine and beer and make ourselves numb. Amen. And so God's burning it. He's burning the vineyards and he'll burn the fields with the grain I guarantee you, he's burning plenty of the fields with the grain out in the west. You know, and Montana and places in the west where they've been having fires too. He's burning some of the fields with the grain and Washington and Oregon, places where there are fields of wheat, I guarantee you have been burning because they've been having fires out in the West. And God is not interested in people focusing, making an idol out of beer. God's not interested in people making an idol out of wine. So let's read on. So he says, therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land and on the mountains and on the grain. I just said that. On the new wine and on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and all the labor of your hands, God says. Then Zerubbabel, my cousin, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. They repented and they showed reverence for God, for the word that the prophet, this is not my word, this is Haggai. Say Haggai. Not that guy. Haggai. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, God said. I am with you. He didn't take a whip and spank him. He did spank him some. He brought drought. He destroyed their wheat fields and their grapevines. He destroyed their cattle and their new wine and their produce. So he did punish him, but he said, I'm with you. Let's read on, see what he says. The Lord's, it says, then Haggai in verse 13, the messenger of the Lord spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord, listen here, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of the hosts, their God. God stirred up the spirit of the governor. He stirred up the spirit of the priest. Amen. And he stirred up the spirit of the people. Everybody say, the people. He stirred up their spirit. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the year of Darius the king. On the 24th day of the sixth month, that was the last month, Elul, before this feast. That was Elul, the month before Tishrei, in which, on the biblical calendar. And by the way, for folks who don't have a biblical calendar and you'd like to have one, we have them. We have some beautiful ones with pictures from Israel. We've got in. These are have all the biblical holidays on them, and they have pictures from Israel. And they tell you when the feasts are and the Sabbaths. And they also have the regular months, March, April, May. It's a 16-month calendar. And they're only $13. And they make a wonderful gift. And if you want to keep up with the feasts, this is a great tool. I use it not only for keeping up with the feast, which I need to do as a rabbi, but I also put my notes in it and keep my, you know, my appointments and things. In this, it's a 16-month calendar. We have them out there. So if you want to get one online, they're $16, and that includes shipping. But they're $13 here, which is a great deal. If you go out to buy a calendar anymore, it's like $18.99, depending, you know, to get a calendar with pictures of Tom Cruise and what's that guy, Brad Pitt, you know. I don't even know who the young stars are anymore. I don't even follow it. Those are old guys now. Let's see. So what does God say? So he stirs up the people, spirit. And they came, and it says they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Let's read this verse again, verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. And it's, let's look at chapter 2. On the 21st of the seventh month, the word of the Lord. Now, what day is the 21st of the seventh month? We can look that up right here. In September, October. So the 21st would have been the 11th, which today is today. On this day, it says on the 21st in chapter 2 of Haggai. Isn't that amazing? We can tell what day it was. It was on this day, on the great Hosanna, the last and greatest day of the feast. In the seventh month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and say to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? But now, take courage." In other words, who saw this house of the Lord when it was in its glory? I probably think none of us saw this house when it was in its glory, except maybe Don and I, and maybe Diane. We've seen it full with Paul Wilbur was here, or Marty Goetz or something, you know. We've seen it busting out with you know, I'm sure with Paul Wilbur was here a few times. Isaac's bar mitzvah, this place was jamming that day. First time we had Ted Pierce here. Yeah. We've seen it. We've seen the former glory. Let's read on here. Who has seen it? Who here has seen? This is the Lord's house, not the one in Jerusalem, but this is the house of the Lord. And he says, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? Many have left. Many have moved on. But who's here that has seen it in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison to what it was? But now take courage. Everybody say, take courage. Zerubbabel declares the Lord, "Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Take courage, Jobel, rabbi of this synagogue, high priest of this place. All you people of the land, take courage." You people, everybody, take courage. Everybody say, take courage. Take courage. Amen. Declares the Lord, "And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea, and also the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations. I will fill this house," not this house, but the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. He's going to rebuild it. He says, "I'll fill this house." I believe he's going to fill this house too. I believe, you know, God gave me a business down, a restaurant. And when I first opened that restaurant 15 years ago, it was empty. And it had 70 seats. Seats for 70, 69 to be exact. And I said, "Lord, where are the people?" One day, it was when I started the restaurant, I looked out at the empty seats. I said, "Lord, why so many seats?" And the Lord just said, "You watch. Deborah, have you ever seen that place full?" Amen. Did God keep his word? Amen. He filled those seats frequently. Not all the time, but Diane, have you seen that place full? Have you seen it wall to wall with people standing? Have you seen it with lines down the hallway? He brought the people, didn't he? And you know what? He's going to do the same thing here. When I took over this, amen. I believe he's going to fill this place, and we're going to have to add a service or two. Hallelujah. So that was on this day God said it. On this day. On the last and greatest day of the feast, God said, build my house. And he stirred up the spirit of the people. Amen. But now take courage, God says. Zerubbabel declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, high priest, and all you people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I'm with you, declares the Lord. God says, "Say, he's with me. He's with us. And you know what? He's going to stir up our spirit to build, not just physically. That's physically is an outward symbol of what he's doing spiritually. The physical building of God's house, when we come and we give our best to God, and for those who haven't, we gave an offering for Israel tonight. If you want to bring your offering, if you came late, you can do it afterwards, it's fine. But he wants us to bring our best, not just in tithes and offerings, but our skills. If you can paint, you know, this room could use a paint job. You know, but we could use new carpet. You know, we had a flood 4 years ago, and the insurance company gave me only enough money. They offered me $9,000 to recarpet this room. I couldn't do it, so they wouldn't give me the money. I couldn't put carpet in the room, and they said they won't give me the money if I couldn't do it for $9,000. It's too much carpet and too much chairs to bring out and too much work. And so I had to just decline $9,000 because they wouldn't give it to me otherwise unless I changed the carpet. And they made my life really hard. But God knows. And so, but he wants us to build his house. Let's not lose focus. He wants Jew and Gentile to come together. He wants us, Jew and Gentile, like we're having this concert with McAdam. This is what he's after. He's after Messianic Jews, believing Jews, and Christians coming together in unity, together in worship, not building each other, not building our own kingdom. I didn't hog this group and say, well, if I take down that screen and I move this table off and move this here, we can fit them in. No. I just went to Pastor Baker and said, can we do it at your church? And it makes it easier on me. You got their sound system, their sound people, their guys to help carry the band stuff and all this stuff. Amen? You know, all I'm asking you guys to do is show up. Amen? Show up and bring an offering if you can. Bring an offering for the group that night. That's all I'm asking. Show up. Bring a friend. Spread the word. Let's build his house. Let's build his house together. That's all I'm asking. That's all he's asking. And so God's not being, he's not punishing, he's not bringing judgment and wrath and hellfire and brimstone on you. But he's saying, you want to be blessed? Build my house. Build my kingdom. Thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord, brother. Praise him. He says, I will shake all the nations. They will come with the wealth of all nations. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. This is the pattern of glory. Remember I said in John 17? He says, Father, I have prayed that they will be one as you and I are one, perfected in unity, so that the world might believe. What's the pattern for glory? If you've been following this feast, I've been talking about patterns for a week now, or more, or 2 weeks. I've been talking about the pattern. And this is the pattern of the revival of the world. And God's saying, when Jew and Gentile come together in unity, we're all the stones, and we come together, stone, Jewish stone and Gentile stone, together, he will build us into a holy temple of God, Ephesians chapter 2. Together, he will build us into a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, of the Ruach HaKodesh together, but not apart. If pastors and messianic rabbis could get this message in their spirit that we need to come together, don't get me wrong, many are. Many pastors and messianic congregations in different cities are working together, but many aren't. Many aren't. Many pastors won't have anything to do with a guy like me, and many messianic rabbis won't have anything to do with a pastor. And they don't get it. That's sad. We gotta pray. But God is doing it. And Now is the time to build the house of the Lord. He says, I will shake. Are the nations being shaken? Would you say that we have a president who's shaking the nations right now? They can't stand him. And we just sent two aircraft carrier battle groups to North Korea. This president isn't messing around. Well, every other president since Bill Clinton's been kicking the can on North Korea's nuclear program down the road, this president's saying it's going to stop here. And this president's saying we're not going to play the same game with Iran that we played with North Korea so that 17 years down the road we can get blown up by Iran. He's going to break that treaty. He's not breaking it. He's just not renewing it because it's come up for renewal next week, I think. And he's not going to renew it. God bless him. God bless President Trump for taking a stand and not. God bless President Trump for taking a stand and not kicking the can. I will say it again. God bless President Trump for taking a stand and not kicking the can. Because every time a president, hear me out. Every time you parents and grandparents, every time a president kicks the can of nuclear war down the road, it's your children who are going to have to face the consequences. Every time a president kicks the can down the road and the threat gets bigger, it's the little kids. It's the grandchildren and the children who are going to have to deal with it. I'm 50 years old, and I've had cancer twice. I'm fighting it the second time. I'm winning. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm 51 years old, and I see those little kids at St. Jude, and I thank God that I'm not too excited about having cancer. It doesn't thrill me. It makes my life hard. I don't talk about it much, and I don't complain about it. But you all don't know what I suffer, and I don't show it. And I don't talk about it much unless somebody asks me. I don't sit up here whining and moaning about how I feel. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't feel like I did when I was 42. I see a lot of guys who are 51 who are running and biking and jogging and doing stuff that I wish I could do. I don't feel up to doing that. But I did go fly fishing for the first time yesterday. and the guy who took me didn't have big enough gear for me, so I had to put on these boots outside my waders, and I felt like a geisha girl. My toes were curled up. I was either like an elf or a geisha girl. I don't know which, but you have to wear these boots outside your waders, and so I realized I could get if I'm gonna do this, so I have to get my own waders and my own boots. But he told me, he said, take them off. And then he took me to a stream and made me go in the stream without the waders. It was freezing. And I'm like, I think he was out to get me. But anyway, I didn't catch any fish, but I think I learned how to cast. So I'm learning how to fly fish. It's pretty tricky stuff, I'll tell you. But I liked it. And I got a picture of me going fly fishing yesterday. Anyway, God's going to stir us up, guys and gals. And he loves you. Everybody say, he loves me. You know, the Lord is not, he says, take courage, for I'm with you. Remember, he said that. I'm with you. Take courage. And when he's ready, he's going to stir us up. He's going to do it. It's nothing, We can pray for it. It's good to pray for the revival of the world. Romans 11 talks about it, you know, about the revival of the world. Ephesians 2 talks about it. John 17 talks about it. I have a newsletter out there called about the revival of the world, you know, Messianic Judaism, the missing link to world revival. It's out there. There's a few copies left, and there may be some downstairs. But the point is, God is with you. God loves you. He says, take courage, stick it out, hang tough, amen? And he's going to do it. And now is the time. Because he says, it's the time. He's going to do it. He says, I'm going to shake all the nations. They will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord. The end time glory of his house will be greater than the former glory. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord. On the 24th of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest for a ruling. If a man, well, I'm going to stop there because it goes on. But you get the message. God's going to stir us up. And it was on this day that the prophet said to the people to take courage. It was on this day that God said to the people that he's with us. It was on this day that God said that he was going to stir up the spirit of the people to build his house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up and give him glory and praise him. And he's going to stir us up. You don't have to manipulate it. You don't have to strive for it. Just worship the Lord and watch what he does. Watch what he does. So I'm going to give you a blessing. And for the folks at home, I'm going to give you the Aaronic blessing. Thank you for watching tonight. And we love you. And if anybody, if you like to give online our offering tonight at www.forzionsake.org, for Zion's sake, if you'd like to give the feast offering from Deuteronomy 16:16, God says, don't come to the feast empty-handed. You can go to our website and you can give a donation, and it's going to go to help the Jewish people who have been hit by the storms and through the Joseph Project has been been bringing aid to Jewish people in Houston and in Florida who have been hit, and Messianic synagogues have been damaged by the storm, and some will go to Israel as well. But right now, we need to. Charity begins at home, the Bible says, I think, somewhere. Does it say in the Bible, or is that somebody make that one up? You know, Wendell, you should know that. Find out. That's homework. All right, along with learning Hebrew by next Tuesday. All right. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Now here's what we're going to do. Stay with me for one more minute. We're going to march down together. And now if somebody needs to take Miss Aja by car to get her down, please take her now. We're going to go down to the sukkah, and we're going to take our palm fronds. And we're going to read the Hallel, which is the psalm of this feast, Psalm 118. And we're going to wave our branches. We're going to stand in the sukkah together. We're all going to pile in. And
you need your inserts from the program.
You need your inserts, Don says. Don, can you grab mine for me?
Same time.
Wendell, can you get Rufus? Thank you. So just wait 1 second, and I'm going to process. I'll lead us down there. And Isaac, if you'll stop the video here. Folks on Facebook, we love you. Shalom. God bless you. We're going to go down to the sukkah, and we can't take you with us, but we love you. Come and watch.